Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome to Jesus is Hot Magazine. We are having some interesting issues over here technically, but praise God, we're going to keep it moving anyway. I'd like to thank you for joining us here at Jesus is Hot Magazine. You are in store for a treat today. And as we only have 30 minutes to this broadcast, I do not want to hold any longer what God has for us this evening. So I thank you, Lord God, that you will speak through my mouth, Lord God, that you will use my vocal cords to speak the words of you via Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord God, for preparing us to come around the table of your word, to sup with you, Lord God, to learn from you, to learn of you, to learn of your kingdom. We thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity, for the privilege, for the honor of seeking your face through your word and hearing your voice through your late man of God, Dr. Miles Monroe. We thank you, Lord God, for the kingdom of God message that you placed on the very inside of him that he yielded to, Lord God, and yielded in the obedience to share with us, that you can do in our lives what you plan to do before the foundations of the world. We thank you, Lord God, that the assignment of the enemy was canceled on the cross, Lord God, in our lives. And we thank you in the mighty and precious name of Jesus for the sacrifice of your son called here to introduce your kingdom. We thank you, Lord God. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory for it. It is all about you, for no flesh shall glory here. In the mighty and precious name of Jesus, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise, God, in Jesus' matchless name. And we agree and say, amen. Hallelujah. Well, in the past few weeks of broadcasting, if you remember, we have been leading up to this point of hearing from the late Dr. Miles Monroe through the book that he written via Holy Spirit, Rediscovering the Kingdom. And we today are going to talk about the King of the Kingdom of God. I would like for you to join me in the Word of God in Matthew. And in Matthew, we're going to look over and read over a couple of things. Jesus introduced us to the kingdom of God. It was a kingdom that God purposed and established for those created in his image and in his likeness, men and women, to reign and rule here on the earth. And that plan was foiled. The enemy stole that identification from us, blinded our eyes through trickery of the tongue, which he often does today. He's very sly. He can turn a word around and change your world if he is allowed to. And unfortunately, because of that, we are all born into sin and iniquity. But praise God for Jesus, our King, our Lord, and our Savior. We are no longer bound to the law of sin and death once we are born again through his sacrifice of his life on the cross of Calvary and a final act of his purposes here upon the earth. That was his final act after he was finished doing all of his work. That was his final act. And he identified that when he said, "It is finished," on the cross of Calvary. Though his victory was not done, his victory had only just begun, for he suffered longer in hell. He suffered the things in hell that we were destined to take part in if we had not given our lives over to God, surrendered to God our lives, and come back into his kingdom, which we are going to learn of today. But Jesus did not stay in the suffrage of hell. He rose on the third day, and he snatched the keys of the kingdom of God. He snatched the keys to our very lives from the devil, so he no longer has access to those keys. If you have made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, he no longer, Satan no longer has control of or over your life. Glory to God. Your life belongs to God. Hallelujah. You are a child of the Most High God. Hallelujah. And Jesus is the reason for that victory. So we thank him. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your surrender, for your yes to take our place. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you honor and we give you glory, our King. We love you so very much, and we thank you. So in Matthew, really briefly, I would like for you to meet me in Matthew chapter 4 at verse 17. From the time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." I don't know about you, but I was not introduced to what the kingdom of heaven actually meant, because those who were teaching me at the time were unaware themselves of what exactly that meant. I just considered it, and I'll speak for myself, as heaven. Every time I heard the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, I just refer to it as heaven. Oh, that's, he's talking about heaven. But no, not exactly. So we're going to delve into that today, just in case you're anything like I was, and that was your take on heaven when you heard the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. If you just associated it with meaning heaven and that's about it, then this broadcast and the broadcast to follow are definitely for you. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 5 now. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of this commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of God, of heaven, excuse me. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with them too. Give to him who asks you. For him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Good question. Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Glory to God. And there is more. I invite you to continue on into Matthew 6 and Matthew 7. Continue on in reading there. And I'm only stopping there because I promised to introduce this book to you. But I wanted us to hear directly from the Word of God concerning this because it's very important for you to understand that this book that we are going to be reading from is also Holy Spirit inspired and goes hand in hand with the Word of God, of which it is written because of and is written in reflection of through the Spirit of God in this late man of God. So we are going to actually begin in chapter 4 of the book, and I know that's a little unorthodox for us who are used to reading and have a heart to read, but it's for a purpose. So we're going to begin in chapter 4, which is entitled The Assignment of Jesus, which was to restore the kingdom. Everybody in the world was born to fulfill an assignment. God created each one of us to solve a problem. There is something that God wanted accomplished that required our existence, every one of us. None of us are an accident. None of us are here by mistake. Our place on this planet is related to an assignment that God had in his mind long before the very existence of our world. This makes us critical to his global plan, reversing the curse of man's defection. God's purpose for us is the same as it has always been, to exercise dominion and authority over the earthly realm under his sovereign kingship. That has never changed. What has changed is our position. Adam and Eve's abdication of their rightful place of authority allowed Satan, an unemployed cherub, to usurp the throne God intended for us to occupy. Relegated to the status of helpless subjects of a devastating kingdom of darkness, we cannot return to our original place without God's help. Fortunately for us, God did not simply write us off, wipe us out, and start all over. His eternal purpose will never be thwarted. His perfect will shall come to pass. From the very beginning, God had a plan that would resolve our defection. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. And that's Galatians 4, verses 4 through 5. So take those notes. Galatians 4, verses 4 through 5. God's purpose was to restore us to our full status as his sons and daughters and bring us back into his kingdom. He sent Jesus as the way. Faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and in his death for our sins and resurrection for our life is the doorway through which we enter the kingdom of God. Write this down. A king and his kingdom. A king and his kingdom. Write down Matthew 24, verse 14. That's Matthew 24, verse 14. Not only was Jesus the way into the kingdom, but he was also the messenger who announced the arrival of the kingdom on the earth. Before any of us could enter the kingdom of God, we had to know it had arrived and where we might find the entrance. That is why Jesus came. Jesus' purpose was twofold: to proclaim the arrival of God's kingdom and through his blood provide entry to the kingdom for all who would come. The kingdom of God is central to his purposes in eternity. Everything God does relates to his kingdom. Even in the physical realm, God's kingdom was at the forefront in creation and will be the central focus at the end of time. Jesus said, "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Matthew 24, verse 14. If the kingdom is central to all that God is and does, it is only natural to expect that it would also be central to Jesus' mission and message. Indeed, it was, as Scripture makes clear. The mission statement of Jesus. Every successful organization, whether a business, a nonprofit group, a family, or whatever, needs a mission statement. Whether it is a formal written statement or simply an informal understanding, a mission statement should clearly define and crystallize the organization's purpose, philosophy, and goals. Every person in the organization should internalize and understand the statement so that they are all working together to accomplish the mission. A mission statement helps keep everyone on course, which is important because the organization's product, service, or message will grow out of its mission statement. According to the Gospel of Matthew, when Jesus initiated his public ministry, his first public declaration was a message that reflected the mission statement for his life. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Matthew 4 and 17. As we have already seen, repent means a complete change of mind and thinking, a whole new mentality, and a complete change of life direction. The kingdom of heaven refers to the sovereign change of life direction. The kingdom of heaven refers to the sovereign presence and authority of God invading and impacting the earthly environment. The kingdom of heaven refers to the sovereign presence and authority of God invading and impacting the earthly environment. Jesus challenged his listeners to change from a mindset they ignored or denied God's kingdom to one that acknowledged and embraced its arrival. Jesus' mission was to proclaim the kingdom of heaven. This assignment from his Father reflects his mission statement, which he declared one Sabbath in the synagogue to Nazareth, his hometown. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And that is Luke 4, 18 through 19. Luke 4, 18 through 19. And unfortunately, we are out of time, but believe that we have way more word to receive through this man of God who was used to write this book. We have so much more to talk about, so much more to cover, so much more to understand. So please study those scriptures. The Word of God tells us to study, to show ourselves approved. The Word tells us to meditate on the Word day and night. Please meditate on this Word. We are going to gather again. We are going to have to gather again next week. We will likely gather next Wednesday at the same time, about 5 p.m., to give everyone a chance to participate. I found that an earlier message causes people not to be able to participate. So we're going to meet at 5 p.m. from now on. We are also going to incorporate our praise, prayer, and worship. We are going to incorporate our praise, prayer, and worship. We may actually get to do that on Sundays. Please keep your eyes and your ears open for further information on that. Please like our Jesus is Hot magazine ministry page on Facebook. Okay, look us up, Jesus is Hot magazine on Facebook. Like our page. You will be updated on what is going on as far as times for the broadcast, and you will have information there about events with the magazine and events for those that we partner with. I want to remind you to register for the Here Comes the Millennials Conference, which is next Saturday. So go to our ministry page for more information about that event that is being hosted by God's Glory Ministries, glory to God, from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where the conference will be in the Center City area of our city. So for more information, more details, go ahead to Jesus is Hot magazine page on Facebook. Okay, we'll see you there. We'll do more talking. Reach out to us there. Leave a message for us on our wall. Do what you need to do. We look forward to meeting with you again right here at Jesus is Hot magazine. Bask in that word. There is much, much more to come. We love you so very much, Father. We thank you for your presence here today. We thank you, Lord God, that we will continue to seek your face. We will continue in your word, Lord God, to learn more of you and more of what you have designed and called and purposed us to do. We thank you, Lord God, so much for your time, so much for your willingness to sup with us. We love you, and we love one another because we love you first. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you all. God bless.